I want to talk something about this morning, and it has to do with attitude. Attitude. So it's interesting, you know, sometimes, you know, those are like good sports talks where the coach comes in and gets everybody on the same page so that you can go out into the field and run out there and all be on one team with one mind, and you go win the game. Oftentimes, the team that has the best connection and the best attitude and the best focus is usually the team that wins. Not always, but if all things are pretty much equal, attitude is a big deciding factor. Now, to speak about attitude, I'm probably going to tell you a story now that you've probably all heard. So this is just a reminder of, kind of goes like this, where a mom was having a little difficulty with her five-year-old child. Her five-year-old child was throwing fits. Mom was trying to give instructions, saying, "No, sweetie, do this." And of course, the child was not being very cooperative and having quite a bad attitude. So finally, the mother just got a little bit fed up and said, "Enough. I need you. You're going to sit in this chair until I tell you to get up." You know, time out, right? Time out. But she refused. She stomped her feet. "I'm not going to sit." You ever seen that? But the mom said, "Oh, yes, you are. You are going to sit. You're going to sit, and you're going to stay there until I tell you to get up." "I'm not going to sit." "Oh, yes, you are. You are going to sit, and you're going to do it right now." Well, whether you wanted to be a little girl or a little boy, stomps on over to the chair and sits down. And then she looks at her mother and said, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." You know that story? It's about attitude. I wonder if we've ever seen anything like that. Have you ever seen anything like that? Maybe it was you in that chair when you were five. I'm sure it was me. I think I remember kindergarten being put in a corner with my nose on the wall. I don't know. That was back then. They don't probably do that these days. You know, draw a circle on the wall and put your nose on it, you know? I think it happened to me once, right? But we've probably all had those days. Well, there is a bit of an attitude in that story. And it's been said about attitudes that they're kind of like opinions. Everybody has one. Everybody has an attitude. Not all attitudes are good. Some are good and some are bad. Now, Pastor Jimmy Evans, I don't know if you know who he is. He's out of a church in Texas, I believe Grapevine Church in Texas. Does a lot on marriage conferences. If you've ever seen him, he probably was talking on marriage because that's his. He travels all over the world doing marriage conferences. But Pastor Jimmy Evans said about this, "An unbeliever with a good attitude has more potential than a believer with a bad attitude." Let me say that again. "An unbeliever with a good attitude has more potential than a believer with a bad attitude. Though you are going to heaven, your life on earth will be determined more by your attitude than any other factor in life." That's what he believes. And that's what he's seen over and over with all the years of counseling. And I know Pastor Jimmy Evans is now, he's up there in age, still pastoring. But that's what he's seen. He's seen that a very strong determining factor that makes marriages healthy, that makes people succeed, so much to do with attitude. And I tend to agree that it's critically important. Now, I'm sure you've never had a negative attitude in your life. They've all been positive, right? Well, maybe not. I've had a few negative attitudes in my life, for sure. And I've learned a few things about adjusting my attitude because my attitude wasn't right and it wasn't getting me anywhere, or it wasn't getting me anywhere good. And I needed to make some adjustments. I have seen even where good attitudes increase my strength and bad attitudes cause weakness in my bones? Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, do you ever remember what it was like to write that paper that you didn't want to write in school, that you loathed to write that paper? You didn't care about the subject. You didn't want to study. You want to read about it, and you certainly didn't want to write the paper. Did you feel cheerful on the inside? Or did you drag your feet? Did you procrastinate? Did you put it off as long as you could put it off? Did you worry and get upset about it? Did you lose sleep? It's amazing how sometimes our attitude when we approach something that we don't want to do can affect even the way we feel on the inside and the strength that we feel. I remember, well, I know what it's like in our home. Ever had this happen? Mom stands up and says, "Family, chore time. Everybody do their chore. Come on, let's go. Everybody get their chore." It's amazing what happens. Because one thing I've seen is kids that were running about had all kinds of energy, were excited and doing kind of things, you know, just with lots of energy. All of a sudden, something overtakes them. A headache. "Oh, Mom, I've got a headache. I think I need to lie down. I've got a hurt. Something hurts here on my wrist. I think I'm going to have to bow out on this one. Or I'm feeling tired. I think I need a nap. Or I'm hungry. I'm really hungry. I need to eat. Can't do anything. Got to eat." It's amazing how something like chores can affect your attitude, and how your attitude can even affect the way you feel. Now, that's not always the case, because I will say I have children who do chores, and sometimes they gladly do it, or they've even done it without asking. And of course, there's praise and glory in the house at those moments when you don't have to even ask. It's like, "Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Jesus." But some of these things are real, and they really do happen. It's amazing how our attitude can shape our energy, our strength, even the things that we're willing to do. So attitude has something to do with it. Now, you may say that sometimes it's circumstances that shape our attitude. And I would have to agree with you, because certainly circumstances and people can shape our attitudes. The people we hang around, we can pick up their attitudes, good or bad. They can shape us, family, friends, our work environment. You know, where we go, yes, I mean, people have attitudes too. And we can pick them up, or we can say no to those attitudes. But ultimately, you choose. Ultimately, you choose the attitude that you have. And that is very important. Circumstances cannot make you have an attitude. Viktor Frankl said this: "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." Now, who is Viktor Frankl? You may know. I don't know. You may know. I didn't know. But Viktor Frankl was a survivor of Auschwitz. His family died under the regime of the Nazis. He survived. I think one other member of his family survived. But one thing he said, "I was not going to hate the Nazis. I chose that in my heart I was not going to hate them. And that I was going to get out. It was going to happen. I felt like I was going to be released." I mean, he held on to that like a faith, and that I would choose to be happy. I would choose to be happy. So that's Viktor Frankl. And maybe read that one more time, because now that you know who he is. "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." Our attitude is powerful. It's very powerful. It has shaping force in our lives. It can shape our lives for good or for bad. And God calls us. He calls us to have a right attitude according to his nature. And this means really a dying of old attitudes that hold us back. Ephesians, Paul says it well in Ephesians 4:22, and we can look at Ephesians. We have it up there. It talks about throw off your old sinful nature. That's the first thing. That's the first thing when it comes to attitudes. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. It says, let the Spirit of God in you work in you to renew you, to renew your mind, to renew your attitudes, to bring new attitudes, good attitudes, righteous attitudes. Because it says we're to put on a new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So these attitudes will reflect God and His nature because we're putting on Him. And the old is changing and the new is coming. So yes, when we get saved, our attitudes need to be sanctified by the Lord. So we let the Spirit of God work in us to bring these renewing of attitudes. So we willingly let God reveal to us by His Spirit attitudes that miss the mark. We say, yes, Lord, I may not want to hear it, but Lord, show me. Show me attitudes that miss the mark, because sometimes we're in error. Now, sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's less pronounced. But our willingness to listen to the Holy Spirit is very important. It's very important because God sees things we don't. Other people see things that we don't. You know, it's often the case. Sometimes we're the last to know. It's kind of like bad breath, right? We're the last to know. But be a friend. Give a mint. Tell them, Don't let them just go through the day, right? Well, usually our attitude is revealed. It's revealed oftentimes, interesting enough, it's oftentimes when the waters are not smooth, when it's not smooth sailing. Because it's oftentimes when the turbulence comes that's oftentimes what reveals our attitude and how we handle things. Revealing something on the inside that we did not realize. And when it is revealed at that point, we have a choice. We do have a choice about our attitude. We can choose. God doesn't take away our human will. He gave us a will. He gave us choice. And it's for our good. It's, and that's the thing, because sometimes we don't always realize that it's for our good. Like, for instance, what if God asks us to forgive somebody who really has hurt us? What if God says, I want you to let go of attitudes of resentment and bitterness? Sometimes it reveals an attitude that's in us. And it's for our good, yet some would shut God down and say, how could you ask me something like that? How could you ask something like that? And just shut God down and shut off conversation. Or we can listen to God. And we can even verbally respond. But we have to let go of what's on the inside. The resentment. The bitterness. To not harbor that any longer. So it's important to respond when it's revealed the attitude of what's going on in our hearts. It's an act of the will. It's an act of the will to let go of things that need to be let go of. Whatever the attitude might be. To let go of it. And this is how attitudes need to change, as an act of the will. And really, it's an act of the will because oftentimes emotions are not there. The emotions want to resist any change, and the feelings may not be there, but the emotions and the feelings will follow your will, your choice. So sometimes we have to simply choose first and let the emotions follow. God can bring and do that in our lives. And sometimes it's just simply a healing that He needs to do, but we have to choose. We have to choose a pathway of healing, and it does affect, and we have to choose our attitude and how we'll approach it. Now, sometimes things are more subtle. For instance, have you ever been grumpy on the inside? What were you grumpy about? Was it just grumpy that you had to get up in the morning? What were you had to go to work? That boss, or that person that I have to talk to or talk with or whatever it is, or who knows? Who knows what makes you grumpy? Sometimes we don't know what makes us grumpy, right? All right, well, I'll tell a story at least on myself here, because I get grumpy sometimes. And sometimes I have the mindset of, I don't want to. You can't make me. Don't bother me now, and don't bother me later. Years ago, I remember being downstairs, and this was a different house that we were in at the time. But I was downstairs in our laundry room having devotion, because I found my quiet spot. I was in the laundry room having devotion time. And I was getting ready because of the day. I knew I had some things coming up and had to get going. So I was trying to have my time with the Lord. It was nice and quiet, away from everybody. And then Erica, I heard her voice, my sweet wife's voice from upstairs, saying, come up here, hon. I need you to do something. I need you to help me. And I'm like, okay, wait. I'll be there. I'll eventually be there. But she insisted. She insisted that I come up. And I'm like, wait! Just wait! I'll be there. And now I'm feeling my devotion being interrupted, my time with the Lord. I only have so much time. I need to get going. I didn't budge. I started mumbling a few things. But then the voice came back. No, come on up. I need help. Like, can't you do it yourself? You know, as I started mumbling. Now, finally, this went back and forth until I realized I was no longer going to have my devotion. It was not going to be possible. I had to do whatever she needed me to do. And so I started upstairs. Oh, I wasn't skipping. I wasn't singing Glory Hallelujah. I was dragging, like, what does she want that she can't take care of, that she can't wait? It's like, my goodness, can't you wait? I was grumbling out loud. I was mumbling out loud. And as I don't know if I stomped, but I'm sure I did with heavy feet, walked up the stairs. And to my surprise, there was quite a contingent from church that looked and said, surprise, happy birthday. And I just stopped, and I'm sure my mouth was open like, really? I was certainly a little embarrassed, and because they did hear my mumbling and grumbling as I was going up the stairs. And a little embarrassed, but certainly surprised about it all. Now, of course, we had good fun. They did make fun of me. They sometimes even see them today and say, yeah, I remember that time. But they also said, yep, we know, you're a real person. You've got your grumbling and things that make you grumpy. But my attitude wasn't exactly excited that day. I had fun with the birthday. That was fun. That was exciting. I was happy about that. But it did reveal to me my attitude. And sometimes that's what happens. Some things just reveal to your attitudes of things of that you don't like, you don't want to do, you don't want to have to give up. So we have them. We have attitudes. Well, now on birthdays, I don't always like surprises, but and Erica knows that. She likes surprises. I'm not as big on surprises, but she loves to give surprises, and that was something I experienced, and it was good. But I wonder, though, with surprises, I wonder if there's things that God has in wait for us, like they're just waiting for us, but we have to get there. We have to come into agreement with God to get to the place where he can give us what he wants to give us, where he really wants to give into our lives. And it may not be a surprise birthday party, but it's something he wants to do in our lives. But there has to be some cooperation on our part. You know, if we just drag our feet, have bad attitudes, do things that really inhibit the work of God in our lives, I wonder sometimes if we might miss some things that God really has for us. I think it's very possible that we miss things in life, something that God wanted to bless us with, or it does want to still bless us with, but we're not always very cooperative. I know when I was 14, and this is really by the grace of God, I didn't miss his grace that he had for me. I was invited to go to a youth retreat, and at first, it was last minute to go on this youth retreat, and I was like, okay, the youth pastor said, come and bring a friend, and I did, I got a friend to come, but then my friend bailed out. He didn't want to go, and his parents were actually atheists, didn't want him to go. So I was left alone, and I really didn't know anybody on the trip, so I wanted to bail out. I wanted to say, oh, I'm sorry, and my attitude was fear. My attitude was fear, because I didn't really know anybody. I didn't really want to go. Here I was, 14, and I don't really, I need to have a friend, but my youth pastor, by the grace of God, thank you, Lord, He didn't accept no. He said, nope. You said yes when your friend, can't go, nope, you come. It's almost like, we'll take care of you. And so I did go. And yes, I was worried all the way, but I had a great time. But the biggest thing was, that was the time where I gave my life to Jesus. I gave my life to the Lord. I accepted, had an altar call at that youth retreat, and it became very personal for me that I accepted Christ as the Lord. But I could have bailed out. I would have bailed out if it was just up to my attitude and the way I felt on the inside. But I praise God that there was a youth pastor who said, nope, I won't accept no. You've got to go. You've got to go. You can go. And praise the Lord. So there are things that we have to be careful, because left sometimes to in an attitude that's really clearly not the right attitude, we can miss things that God wants to do in our lives. Now, the story of Jonah is a great story for us to look at when we want to talk about attitude. Because when we look at Jonah, we see that Jonah had an issue with attitudes. Well, he had an attitude, right? And he had, In his way of thinking, he absolutely had a good reason for his attitude. God called him, he's a prophet, and God called him to preach really almost a turn or burn message to the Ninevites. God's coming to destroy you unless you repent. Judgment's coming upon you unless you repent. So his calling as a prophet, God called him and says, I want you to go to the Ninevites. He said, no. He ran the other way. We know the story. He ran the other way. He said, I'm not going to. He put his foot down. I'm not going to. And why? Because those Ninevites were his enemy, the enemy of Israel, people who had done terrible things to the people of Israel. He didn't want anything to do with it. And because he knew something about God, he knew God was a God of mercy. That if people would repent, if people would turn from their ways, God is merciful, and he would show the mercy. He's like, no, I know this thing. I don't want them to have the opportunity to turn. I don't want them to have the opportunity. And so, yes, he had an attitude. We know the story that God corrects him. God disciplines him. We can say even God chastens him. We know the story of the fish. We know the story of being in the belly of the whale. But that when he knew that he could not get away from God, that wherever he went, if he went to the ends of the earth, God was there. He couldn't run from God. God saw him wherever he was. And God had a calling on his life. And so he did turn in that aspect to say, I'll partner with you, God. Okay, I'll turn. Didn't want to. Still had an attitude. But he was corrected by God. But he gave his yes to God, even when he was internally struggling, internally on the inside, because everything in him wanted to see judgment. He wanted to control the situation. And to control the situation, no, God, I want judgment for them. But he said yes, knowing that the door of mercy would be open to his enemies. Now in Jonah 4, chapter 4, we can pick up on this and see a little bit of the conversation that's going on here. Yes, it says, this change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? Show mercy, showing mercy to the Ninevites. That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? And that's a great question. And sometimes that's the Lord. He just has to ask us a question. Is it right? Is it right for you to be angry about what I want to do in God in his sovereign ways, God in his ways of mercy and love and compassion and care? Is it right? Is it right for you to be angry about this? You know, God's question really only has one right answer. And I wonder sometimes if we ever catch an attitude with God and that we're not in the right. It's always the case that God sees the bigger picture. He always sees the bigger picture. He always sees the outcome, the bigger picture, the things that we don't see. Or sometimes it's just things that we don't want. Jonah didn't want mercy for his enemies. He absolutely did not want that. You know, maybe God asks something of you, but your heart was or is resistant. Now, where along the way did you want to bail out? Or maybe you did bail out. Knowing that what God was asking you to do would take a step of faith, that you weren't ready or willing. It would mean you getting out of your comfort zone. It would mean requiring a sacrifice. Something would have to change in some respect in your life. Maybe there was fear that was holding you back. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we have attitudes with God. Have you ever had an attitude with God? The good news is God loves his children. He sees the attitudes. He saw it in Jonah. He saw Jonah's attitude. And he chose Jonah. He didn't have to. He could have chose another prophet. There were other prophets that could have done the job. He chose Jonah. And maybe he chose Jonah because he knew his attitude. And maybe, just maybe, he wanted Jonah to come face to face with his own attitude and his hatred towards his enemies. Say, Jonah, I ultimately want you to be merciful as I am merciful. God wants us to take on his nature, his attitude. And sometimes he will call us to do something that he knows we'll resist. He knows we'll dig in our feet. He knows that we won't like it. I don't want to do that. But God will call us even though he sees the attitude in us. But all the more, it reveals the attitude. But then God says, okay, let's work on this. Let's grow. Let's come forward. And sometimes it's just taking steps to say yes to the Lord and what he wants to do. God loves his children, and he labors to produce maturity in us. Now, if your kids ever had an attitude problem, you wouldn't just let that attitude problem persist, right? You would bring some correction. You would say, you know, sweetie, that's not okay, the way you're thinking. You know, your attitude is not right. You're going to bring correction because you don't want them to grow up in that attitude. You don't want them to grow up and continue to have that. Well, God does as well. And the Bible basically says the process is no fun. It's not really fun, but it may not be fun, but there's understanding of the purpose that's involved in what God does. And Hebrews tells us a little bit about this. Hebrews 12, it speaks to about God's purpose and what he does to shape our attitudes. Verse 10, it says, "For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is good for us, is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong." Now, it's even interesting because actually, Pastor Jimmy Evans also helped me give me insight on the whole idea of getting a grip with tired hands and strengthening weak knees. It really goes back to the whole idea how a bad attitude causes weakness. Weakness. The same thing of where you can't get a straight pathway because you're dragging your feet. You don't want to. You're slumped over, you're slouched because I don't want to. And it's amazing how that position of slouching and bad attitude is really a position of weakness. It's not a position of strength. And in Hebrews it says, take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees and mark out a straight path for your feet. Get going. Start going with where the Lord is leading, with where the Lord is directing. Don't drag your feet. Don't try to find out the 20 reasons why God is wrong and he should do it a different way or do something else or ask somebody else or whatever it may be. God is working. He's working in us to shape our attitudes because he knows it's important. He knows we won't go very far with the wrong attitudes, but with the right attitudes, we will go places that we never believed that we could possibly go and do things that we didn't think were possible to do. He knows that a bad attitude can simply undermine our lives. And it undermines us individually, it undermines the church, the body of Christ. Because he needs a people who are ready to go with him and say yes. And say yes. But learning from God and learning God's ways, it increases the fruitfulness of our lives. And God doesn't want you to miss out. He doesn't want you to miss out on the beautiful fruit he wants to produce in your lives. He wants us to be fruitful Christians, abundant Christians. But sometimes that means he simply has to shape, to prune, to work with our attitude. So our attitude lines up with him. And we take on his mindset. And we say, Lord, you know, it's like these glasses aren't working anymore. Could you give me lenses, your lenses, so I can see according to the way you would want me to see? Sometimes that's exactly what the Lord needs to do. So what do we do? If God reveals to you an attitude in you that's not right, that's not in good keeping, that's holding you back, that's hindering your life, it's a barrier. If he reveals that to you by his Spirit, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can bring it before God. You can repent. You can say, Lord, I'm sorry. I was acting like that 5-year-old girl who was sitting on the chair, or that 5-year-old boy. Or I was acting, you know, in a way, Lord, that honestly, I just wasn't trusting you or I wasn't believing you had something good. That the outcomes would be good. That you would work all things for good for those who loved you and called according to your purpose. That you would do that. Forgive me for not trusting you, for not believing. And Lord, that my yes, you would take and you would bring a fruitfulness to it. So we have a choice. And I ask you this morning, pray. Would you pray? God, is there anything in me? Is there any wrong attitude in me that needs to change? Would you show me, Lord? And would you help me to have the kind of attitude that you want me to have.